And now we have transitioned entirely to virtual conferences. Mm-hmm. And we like to say we are the best virtual conferences in the industry. We put on 4 massive conferences a year.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jay Croft, and welcome to the Optimal Aging Podcast, where we discuss the business of exercise, healthy living, and well-being for people 50 and over. Each week, we explore what healthy living means for millions of people over age 50 and what's coming next, with a focus on communications, content, and making powerful connections.
When I first started writing in the fitness industry a few years ago, the Association of Fitness Studios was one of the first organizations I found and one of the most helpful. I went to its conference, met its leader, Josh Levy, and his father, the late Chuck Levy, and made countless connections that have really been enjoyable and helpful for me ever since. So many people in the industry can say the same thing about this organization, which has been rebranded as the Fitness Business Association, and about Chuck and his family. And now, as we're all sort of getting back to normal, more or less, I wanted to check in with Josh and have him share how the FBA has changed, and not just in name. The organization, for instance, has gone all virtual in its conferences, and they're even having one this week, June 3rd and 4th, that you can still sign up for free at fbasucceed.com. A lot of people can relate to how Josh has led the FBA's evolution, especially during these last couple of years. And I know you'll get a lot out of this conversation. Enjoy. Well, Josh, hi. Thanks for joining me today. It's great to see you again.
Likewise, Jay. Good to see you again. When's the last time we saw each other in person? Was it back in 2019 at our conference, possibly?
I think it had to have been because the world shut down in March of 2020. So
it's, yeah,
I think so. Isn't that crazy? I've lost all track of time. People say, oh, I haven't seen her since so-and-so. And I'm like, was that last month, or was that 3 years ago?
I know, right? That was 3 years ago. Oh my gosh, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. That just blows my mind. I'm doing well, Jay. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
I'm delighted to see you again and to get caught up with you personally and also with the organization, because y'all have gone through a lot of changes in the last few years. And you've got some new ways of doing things that I want to hear about and tell people about. So let's just dive in, man. A lot has changed. So I'll let you take
a lot has changed. Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny for anybody listening in. I'm sure a lot has changed for all those people listening in as well from a business perspective. We are all very different businesses than we were back in the spring of 2020 from where we are now. But yeah, you know, Jay, we've known each other for a while. I know you knew my late father, Chuck Levy, for quite a while. Yeah. When we first started the organization, you know, we're now the Fitness Business Association, the FBA. Mm-hmm. And about 18 months or so ago, we were a different organization. We were the Association of Fitness Studios. And we ultimately decided to rebrand the company during the pandemic because, as a lot of people did, we just kind of looked internally and found that there was a lot of confusion around the audience that people who we thought we served. And there was a lot of confusion as of, if I'm an aspiring studio owner, you know, I'm a trainer currently or a coach or an instructor, do I join the quote unquote Association of Fitness Studios? Do I have to have a brick and mortar physical location to join the Association of Fitness Studios? And then we also got a lot of confusion around, well, I'm a gym. I'm, you know, 3,500 square feet. I don't really consider myself a studio. Should I join the Association of Fitness Studios? We got a lot of that. And so we ultimately decided, you know what? The question to both of those questions was, yes, we want you to join. We have the benefits. We have the resources. We have the support, the education, the research for you. But that wasn't coming through in the brand name of the old company. And so we rebranded the Fitness Business Association because we did a lot of internal research and found that our message was resonating to our entire database of now over 72,000 people, that what we do is relevant to them. And people can pick and choose what is really relevant to them. But business is business. And we're even branching out more to do more on the training side as well, from a programming perspective, from a specialization perspective, to really kind of cast a little bit more of a wider net, still kind of staying in the same lane of business, but understanding that even as a trainer, if you're training out of a, you know, 24-hour fitness or a Planet Fitness or anywhere, a high-end model, you know, that you are ultimately a business owner. You're just your own self is, you know, John Smith, the personal trainer, but you still comes with a significantly, you know, different set of challenges than it does. You still got to learn how to sell. You still had to learn how to talk to people. You still got to learn how to put your programming together and what that all looks like. And so we bring in experts from all over the world that that help people through through the events that we do, and of course through the association as well. So yeah, we were the Association of Fitness Studios, rebranded to the Fitness Business Association. And Jay, you know, we were talking, we started this off saying last time we saw each other was at our in-person event in 2019. Yeah. And now we have transitioned entirely to virtual conferences. Mm-hmm. And we like to say we are the best virtual conferences in the industry. We put on 4 massive conferences a year. They're all very different. We do 1 in March, 1 in June, 1 in August, and 1 in November. And the 1 in March and the 1 in August are massive events with over 60, 70 sessions. It's a 3-day event. We do keynotes, we do early morning workouts, we do cooking classes, we do, there's CECs and CEUs offered. There's about 4 or 5 sessions going on every hour, but there's also massive perks if you spend a little bit amount of money, which is, we're talking like $50 to $70 here, to gain access to all the sessions whenever you want. It gives you 6 months to watch the sessions, and that ultimately becomes a membership as well into the Fitness Business Association. So those are our 2 big events. And then our June event, the one that we actually have coming up next week, is a completely different event where we've kind of scaled it back. It's more of an intimate event, but we group the attendees by where their experience level is. So if you're just starting out and your revenue might be under $150,000, $200,000, you are going to be grouped into an experience track where 2 really world-renowned presenters that we bring to the table help present and give you the guidance necessary to reach that next level, which is having revenues in between about $200,000 and $500,000. And so there's 3 tracks. You can be grouped into that first track, kind of the middle of the road track, or the high performers, the high achievers, those people that are making $500,000 that want to grow even more. We have a track for them, for which 2 presenters that are wildly successful are helping guide them as well. And then we do roundtables at this event. We do workshops at this event. It's just a very different feel. It's called our Succeed Community event that happens June 3rd and 4th. And then in November, after our big August event, we do an Innovation and Solution Summit where it's all vendors. So this is our opportunity to bring all of our sponsors and vendors together to showcase the new technology, the new equipment, all the things that are happening from a programming perspective, from a technology perspective, that people don't have to worry so much about Googling, hey, which CRM should I use or whatever. We have like 50 vendors that come to this thing that showcase their products and services on display. We basically give the vendors center stage, and that's our Innovation and Solution Summit. And that happens in November. So, you know, all that is our Succeed family of events. That's under the umbrella of the FBA. And then, you know, the association side of things, we do a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, it's education, it's research. We do a show where we pull out sessions from our vault and showcase the ones that are the most relevant during that time of year. And we just continue to have fun and build a community internally. So it's been quite a change, you know, but it's worked out really well for us. We're excited.
Well, that's great. It's very exciting to hear all of that. And I think it's also interesting how what you said at the beginning, a lot of people have gone through similar changes. Now, I wanted to ask you, was this cooking before the pandemic, or did a lot of this come up, or was it accelerated by the pandemic, forcing a lot of people to go online and to offer hybrid training, and then you reacted that way? Or was it, you know, really reflecting changes that were already cooking as far as the, I'm not a studio, I'm a gym, I'm a trainer, et cetera?
Yeah, a little bit of both. You know, as any business owner can attest to, you always have those things nagging at you from a bit, like, I want to improve this, I want to change this, I want to tweak this. You know, you're constantly looking at your numbers, your retention, your attrition. And we just saw that we were getting too many people. There's too much confusion going on. So there's always this thing in the back of my mind. It's like, all right, we need to make some changes. Do we want to make small changes within the AFS, or do we want to go big and really kind of reinvent ourselves? So The latter part of your question was, did the pandemic accelerate it? It did. You know, that was kind of the key to us that said, okay, we have an opportunity here to really just wipe the slate clean and discuss. We had been discussing this for a long time internally and say, what do we need to do first and foremost when the pandemic hit to support our community? What do we need to do to support the industry so that we could get education out to the masses in a time when people needed it the most? And we put on a virtual conference, I think it was around the same event time that our 2020 in-person was supposed to happen. It's just, we didn't plan to do virtual conferences. You know, it's just something that I have a great team and a great IT director. And he's like, look, we can build something and we can get sessions up there and we can have something ready to go in a few weeks. And we put it all together in, I think, 4 or 5 weeks and launched our first virtual conference, which is, you know, when I look back at it, just bare bones of what we do now. And that accelerated us to kind of look at this differently and say, hey, let's leverage what we do and our sponsors and our marketing partners and everybody we know to drive as many people to this thing as possible. And I should note, you know, our conferences are free. You know, we open it up for free. So it's not because you're going to get a lack of quality. We do it for the betterment of the industry, you know, and if you want to be able to come and engage for free, go ahead. We also offer the opportunity to upgrade if you want to gain CECs and CEUs and a membership in the FBA and a variety of other perks. But, you know, for us, we found that we can keep a conference free and still do incredibly well and generate thousands of members every year with a minor upsell as well. And it's worked out well. So, yeah, I think a little bit of a twofold. You know, I think it was cooking for a long time, but then the pandemic definitely accelerated our ideas.
We'll be right back after a short break. Hey, everybody wants to bring in more money and to save time, right? Well, our friends at Nomly are here to help you improve your gym's communications with clients and grow your business. Join more than 300 fitness coaches who are doing more business with less work. Nomly helps to systematize and simplify gym operations by centralizing member data and communications so gym owners can increase their customer lifetime value, improve staff efficiencies, and raise the bottom line. This centralized communications tool helps you in lots of ways. It helps you orchestrate referral programs at the push of a button, helps you hold clients accountable with built-in two-way texting, and it lets you rest assured that all your clients' messages are being handled properly. Schedule a free consultation today at Nomly.com/optimal-aging-podcast. That's Nomly, Nomly.com/optimal-aging-podcast. Back to the show.
A lot of communications involved in doing not just a rebrand, but I know you really rethought how you're doing everything. It's not just a rebrand. It's much bigger than that. And from my point of view, as an observer, it seemed like it went really well. Tell me a little bit about how you all managed the communications challenges, and maybe give us an example of something that people might learn from if they're going through some similar changes in their business.
Yeah, communication is key. You know, organization is key, and those are two things that I pride myself on, in all that I do is just staying organized and having open communication and dialogue. And I think when we did it, we internally all met virtually, of course, and we decided, all right, if we're going to make this change, who are the powers that be that need to know? Who do we need to reach out to? What communications do we have to have from the fitness media to our members, to our sponsors, to, you know, everybody that kind of you would just identify? And we outlined everything and we had communications that were set up to go out to each of them. I have a great team internally that's able to put it all together from, you know, electronic communication vehicle, if you will, and how we disseminated that information. And it was just being able to be upfront, be honest, you know, and allow people the understanding that this is the reason why we're doing it. And this is what you can expect from it. And even when we launched the new FBA back in March of last year, so really, guys, it's been 14 months, not even 18, is that we're already a different organization from when we launched that company because of the things we learned and how we've evolved since then. So anybody that's going through it, you know, it's something that you've been thinking about for a long time. And I encourage you and I challenge you just to be as detail-oriented as possible, just like if you were to do it if you're going through a price increase or something like that, something monumental that's going to impact a lot of people, you want to give them an understanding of why you're doing it. You want to give them an understanding of what were the determining factors that led you to it. What are the improvements that are coming along with it? So they kind of lessen the blow a little bit, but ultimately it's an exciting change. And you want people to feel that excitement along, you know, with yourself and your team, because you believe what you've built is going to be incredibly successful for them as well. So making sure that that value is there that you can communicate is always going to be top of mind.
Right. So you need to know who your stakeholders are, who needs to know all of this. Maybe risk over communicating, because oftentimes we think, well, I've said that once. I already said that once.
Doesn't
I don't
resonate.
Need to say it again. It doesn't resonate.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta repeat it. Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you. I mean, we had, you know, thousands of members, and I mean, we have more than that now, but we're still sometimes getting emails from people that just, you know, weren't all that engaged and say, hey, what happened to the AFS? I can't log in. It's like, okay, you know, they haven't seen our communications, which is okay. But we have to reiterate that, you know, we rebranded and here's the FBA and this is what it means. And this is how you gain access and stuff like that. So it never changes, you know, and you just have to do, to your point. Yeah. Over communication is always better.
And reminding to stress to them why you're doing it and what's in it for them.
Yes.
Right.
100%.
That there's a benefit, that there's a reason for you doing all of this.
100%. Absolutely.
I think a lot of people listening to this are going to relate, because maybe they're trying to figure out how to do hybrid, or they're trying to figure out why older people aren't coming back to the gym as much as we might like them to, or how can we proceed, wondering if something horrible is going to happen again. You know, what do we do with the business model throughout all of this?
Absolutely.
And I think just keep communicating, right? Keep talking to folks.
That's all you can do. You know, I mean, that's all you can do is just keep those open lines of communication, you know, just chugging along. And so that people can really, they feel like they have a support person, a support mechanism, a support organization that they can go to for any questions that they might have.
You know, you're going with virtual events, conferences, Succeed conferences now. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I keep hearing a lot of people in the business saying they're so excited because now we can go to conferences and we can see our friends again and have all that good energy that we get from being in the same room with people, all of that.
Yeah.
And yet I don't know that it's really happening with that enthusiasm that we might have hoped for. You know, I think a lot of people are still kind of holding back and wondering, is this really happening? And, you know, you guys are still doing it online. What do you see? Are people, you know, really anxious to get back to every conference they can go to, or maybe just for the bigger ones where there's, you know, you're going to have such a huge presence of a huge amount of people there anyway. You know, how can people navigate, gee, should I participate this year? Give me some thoughts on that if you can.
Great question. So I'll take it in two parts, you know.
Yeah.
First part is, what are we seeing? You know, I'm going to be attending IHRSA next month. And, you know, I should preface all this by saying, I hope that in-person events get back to pre-pandemic levels. You know, just because we do our conferences virtually does not mean that I'm against in-person. You know, I encourage all of your listeners, anybody who sees us, to go attend an in-person conference, whether it's IDEA, IHRSA, Perform Better, FAI, Athletic Business, Club Industry, whatever it is, you know, whatever is coming to SCW, whatever they may be, go out, see your friends, engage. I mean, there's an energy that you get from going in person, you know, so I encourage people to do it. Now, do they go every year? Maybe, maybe not. You know, if from a financial perspective, you know, virtual is also very beneficial as well. But, you know, I think I encourage people to go out and attend in-person events. I think people right now are excited to go back and get there in person. You know, we were saying all this. I don't think the attendance levels are going to be where they were pre-pandemic levels quite yet. You know, IHRSA, of course, has its own bevy of challenges based off of things that happened a couple years ago that they're working through. But I don't think the attendance levels are going to be nearly as high as they were. You know, I think there are certain groups that just don't feel comfortable going. And I think they also realize that they can get some of their education online virtually. Whether it's virtual conferences, whether it's through their certifying organization, whether it's through a variety of other places. But I hope people want and do attend in-person events, because Jay, to everything you said, I mean, there's an energy there that you can't replicate online. I mean, I've done an extensive amount of research from a virtual perspective. And the best advice I got is, you know, Josh, if you're trying to emulate in-person networking virtually, stop. You just can't. Yeah, and it's true. You just can't, you know, and we have really taken that mindset and run with it and said, okay, we're never going to be able to do that experience in that type of an environment in a virtual space. But what can we do, you know, throughout the conference to make people feel more engaged with what it is that we do? So that's a whole different story. But when you get back to in-person and, you know, what the industry is looking like right now, you know, there were the organizations out there that ultimately their bread and butter were their events, you know, and we know the companies that are out there and they're coming back and they're not as big as they were before. And, you know, all that we can do and hope for these organizations and for the industry, because they're great for the industry if these events are successful, is that they grow year over year based off of how people feel and how confident they are in returning to big groups of people. You know, I mean, that's the thing. You know, you think back and say, okay, I'm comfortable where I live. I'm comfortable going to the grocery store and eating dinner and going out. But now you're talking about a massive convention hall with a ton of people, you know, that for a lot of people right now, that might be something that they're just not all that comfortable with. And for a lot of other people, there's like, I don't care. Game on, you know, I'm being at home. I can't wait to go and network with all my friends. And by all means, depending on what group you fall into, and there's probably some people in between, do what makes you comfortable, you know, because from an education perspective in the industry, you're going to have options, whether you go in person or stay home and do it virtually as well.
I think I've got one foot in each camp, Josh. You know, on the one hand, I want to go around and see everybody and totally network and build connections and all of that. And yet on the other hand, we have learned that we can pretty much do a lot of things online that we can do at conferences. And the other thing is, you know, like everyone, I've got friends and family I haven't seen now in a long time.
Yeah, sure.
Currently, I'm currently at my mother's house. She lives about a 4-hour drive from me. And I'm planning to go to see a bunch of my other family next month. And I'm hoping to see some other friends who live out of state the following month. So I kind of feel like just personally, I've got a backlog of all this stuff I need to do. And every conference is 3 or 4 days and it's $1,000 roughly by the time you throw airfare, hotel, registration. And it's just a matter of prioritizing because like the whole world's opened up again. I want to do everything.
Absolutely. Yeah. You got to pick and choose, you know, I mean, that's why we're talking, you know, and I say to everybody, it's like, go and attend in-person conferences, you know, but at the same time, when you look at the industry, such a large industry, but yet also so small, you know, but when you look at the industry, a regular fitness business owner or a personal trainer or an instructor or coach, are they going to attend a conference every single year in person? Maybe. Maybe they are if it comes somewhere locally, if it's one of the local shows that come.
Right.
But a lot of times they're going to go maybe once every few years, maybe once every 5 years or once every 7 years. They finally say, you know what? I should go to one of these conferences and see what they're all about. But some of these conferences have a built-in audience already that is excited to go back. And those are the ones that I think are going to definitely rebound the fastest just because they've got 30 years behind them of a dialed in audience of people that know what they're going to expect when they go to some of these conferences. So, you know, I think those will bounce back the fastest. Yet, you know, for us and where we are, you know, the virtual spaces work out really well because we know that one of the things that we like to say is we're not trying to go back to where the industry was pre-pandemic. We're meeting the industry where it is now with a lot of our virtual education.
Let's take a short break. We'll be right back. Hey, are you a fitness professional trying to grow your business with people over 50? If you are, then you need to know how to communicate with them, how to market to them, and how to get them to know you, like you, and trust you with their fitness and their money. We're talking about the baby boomers and more. People who are a little older and a little younger are still in this demographic slice that I'm talking about. People who are older than the typical client or prospect that gyms and studios go for. They have more time, more money, and better motivation to become excellent long-term fitness clients for gyms, studios, and trainers. PrimeFit content, is the only content marketing company designed specifically to help you engage people in this group and to distinguish yourself from competitors in your community. It's effective, it's easy to use, and it's super affordable. Check it out at primefitcontent.com. That's prime, like prime of your life, fit content, primefitcontent.com. Back to the show.
You're saying everything I said to a gym owner who called me for help a couple of weeks ago, and he said he wants to serve the active aging community. And I looked at his website. All the only photos were of 23-year-old girls, size 2. And yep. The copy on his site said, "I want to help you get fit." Didn't say anything about people over 50 or people over 40 or retirees or anything like that. It was just, "I want to help you be fit. And here's a picture of a 25-year-old supermodel." I said, "There's nothing here that says that." And he says, "Well, I don't want to limit anybody." I said, "Yeah, you do. You want the people might find your website and they want to see that you want them. You need to say, hey, I want you, Mr. 55-year-old semi-retired guy who's 30 pounds overweight and wants to improve himself. I'm the only trainer in this town who actively seeks out older people and has a functional aging training certification and doesn't play, you know, heavy metal music at ear-splitting levels." Why not say that?
Absolutely. It's identifying your only, but then it's also like, what do you want to be known for? I don't know a lot of people that just say, "I want to be known for being everything to everyone."
Right.
Right. Yeah. No, you want to be known for something. What's your something that you want to be known for? And then focus on that.
And within that, again, is really, it still can be a very rich and diverse, field that you're working in. Like just for myself, my business, Prime Fit Content, I decided to focus on helping gyms and studios market to people over 50. Okay. Now is that a niche? I don't know. Kind of, you could say it is, but not really, because that's 100 million people in this country are over 50. So it's not quite a niche, but it is, because the industry doesn't care about them and isn't geared up to help, help older people get in shape or stay in shape or become regular customers. And within that umbrella of over 50, you've got, being 50 is different than being 80. And some people at 50 or 60 are in excellent physical condition. Most are in terrible physical condition. So there's four, just like four subgroups right there that I identified, but they all wrap up under this idea of, there's a huge underserved market of over 50 people in this country. How can we help them and turn them into good, steady, long-term customers? So that's kind of how I relate to it. I think that's what you were talking about.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're on the same page.
Yeah. Well, good, good, good. Well, listen, I want to be respectful of your time here, but tell me what's coming up and where people can find out more information about your online conferences and your spectacular range of services that you offer folks.
Yeah. Probably the best place to go is just our website. Go to fbafitness.com. F as in Frank, B as in boy. A is in fitness. That's the type of day that I'm having, right? Yeah. CEO right here. Yeah. A is in association or Apple, fbafitness.com. And then from there, there's a link right to our Succeed website. So the Fitness Business Association. And then we have our Succeed family of events. That's our event brand. You can either just find it right from fbafitness.com, or you can go to fbasucceed.com. And that's the event side of things as well.
Yeah. Well, good. And just finally, give me in a nutshell, how do you see the immediate future, the next 6 months or so for the industry rolling out?
You know, now that we're getting into summer and things are warming up and things seem to be dying down a little bit on the COVID standpoint, I see things starting to return a little bit closer to normal. You know, there's still the buckets of people based off of where their comfort level is. And really, I think for people, ultimately, there's been a shift as far as what we're seeing. You know, I think ultimately for people wanting to come back, I think we're seeing the shift is they want to come back. It's really all about trust, right? Mm-hmm. I think I read somewhere where, and I believe it myself ultimately, is that what members want in their new normal, if you will, is not about the best workout or the most equipment or the most classes. It's going to be about whether or not I trust my health to you and your team. And, you know, now cleaning guidelines are part of the norm, you know, making sure that countertops and equipment and paint chips and stuff like that, things are cleaned up in a way that we haven't seen before. Those, I think, are going to be the things that sell the client. Those are going to be the things that we've seen people that have reopened and done an incredible job reopening, focusing on. You know, gone are the days where you can get down and do a plank on, you know, the ground in the studio and up fly the dust bunnies, right?
Yeah.
When you're down there. I mean, you do that now and automatically somebody's mindset shifts to be like, this is not a clean facility, you know, and you can't have that anymore. You just can't. I mean, the businesses that have survived this pandemic and are thriving, we're able to pivot, we're able to, you know, service their members in a time of need. And keep in mind, you know, the businesses, the industry that we're in a service-based industry. Mm-hmm. And during the pandemic, fitness professionals of all kinds, fitness business owners, fitness professionals, trainers, instructors, coaches, were seen as an outlet to relieve stress. I mean, so much focus was put on mental health during the pandemic mm-hmm. and continues to be now, that, you know, the trainer, the instructor, or the coach was seen as an outlet to relieve that stress and still is. And so, you know, I kind of own into that or just kind of take that on as a challenge to yourself to be like, look, you've got a job to do, and that's to make the clients that you serve or the members that you serve, you know, feel better about themselves and what they do on a day-to-day basis. And if you can achieve that, then you're doing something good for yourself and for the industry. And I guess you can call it for the world as a whole.
Yeah. And we're not going back, you know, even if COVID disappeared tomorrow, I still look at things differently now. I wash my hands more often than I used to. I still wear a mask sometimes just because of the pollen. It bugs the heck out of me this time of year.
Yeah.
Or, you know, because if I'm around a bunch of kids and they're sneezing everywhere, I just react to things differently now. I think everybody does. And I think that's not going to change. So
no,
even
you
if
know, I mean,
COVID's, yeah.
No, go no, ahead. No, you're exactly right. You know, I was going to say the same thing. I mean, you know, we got so used to wearing masks for so long that, you know, I remember the first time I got sick after what was like 2.5 years, you know, and I got sick. I was like, oh yeah, this sucks. This is what it's like to feel sick because nobody went anywhere for so long and nobody got sick. And so, you know, it's like, oh, right. I hate getting sick. So I was like, maybe I will continue to wear a mask on a plane or something like that just to protect myself from, you know, it's not COVID. It's just getting sick in general, washing my hands more often and stuff like that. So, you know, I mean, everybody's going to take a different approach to it. And those three buckets I was talking about, the people are excited. They don't care what's going on, COVID or not, they're getting out of their house. And then there's the bucket in the middle where it's like, all right, you know, I'll maybe go and during slower times and try to figure things out. Maybe I'll go once or twice, you know, but not as much as I was before. And then there's the third bucket, which is like, you guys go, we're good keeping things virtually or in a hybrid model or whatever it is when it comes to their training, this on the consumer side of things. So, you know, everybody's going to find out what works best for them.
That's right. And we just got to help them stop living in fear and start taking care of themselves again.
That's what it's all about. You know, you can take the necessary precautions that makes you feel comfortable, but yeah, you got to get out there and live your life for sure.
All right. Well, Josh, I'm going to look forward to tuning into next week's conference. We're doing this you and I are speaking in the last week of May. So I'm going to post this in the beginning of June. So if anyone listening to this can still go sign up for the Succeed conference, June 3rd and 4th, right?
June 3rd or 4th. Friday, Saturday. It's a 2-day conference. So like I said, it's free to attend. It's a brand new event style conference. So we're excited to bring it to the masses. So yeah.
Tons of great value in that. Tons of great knowledge. All right.
Absolutely.
Josh, thanks again so much. I really appreciate your time. It's good to see you. And I look forward to seeing you again in person someday soon.
Yeah. Likewise. Thanks so much for having me, Andre. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Optimal Aging Podcast. I'm your host, Jay Croft, and I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, I hope you'll subscribe, tell a friend, and write a review. All of that helps us grow our audience. I also hope you'll share any comments you have with me in an email or on social media, including suggestions for people I should interview or topics I should cover. You can learn more about me and my content business at primefitcontent.com. You can send me an email at j at primefitcontent.com. That's J-J-A-Y at primefitcontent.com. I'm also on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So find me anywhere you like and be in touch. And again, thanks for listening. Join us next time.